My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus, our coming Savior and King. The gospel reading that we read today is really an alternate gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent. And I'll read a portion of it again from Matthew chapter 24, starting in the 36th verse. Jesus says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Well, I always think oxymorons are kind of fun to think about, and some of them are just downright hilarious. You know, oxymoron, two things that side by side seem to be in opposition to each other. So an oxymoron like, that's a fine mess, or active retirement, or half dead, or I like this one, rap artist, or government worker, or a paper tablecloth, or a numb feeling, or awfully good. Well, here's an oxymoron for you for Advent. Reliable unpredictability. And that's not necessarily unique to Advent, because you can find reliable unpredictability elsewhere in life. So just for example, the other day, the former major league pitcher, Will Brunson, at the age of 49, died suddenly of a heart attack while he was hiking at a national park in Texas in a case of reliable unpredictability. Death, you see, very reliably will come to all of us, even to major league baseball pitchers. But who would have predicted that for Will Brunson, it would be on that day and in that place? Death is both reliable and unpredictable. And so too is the coming of our Lord and Savior at the end of time. And so Jesus' words bring together two elements that make up the dynamic of this gospel reading. And when we understand this dynamic, it really has a way of changing our approach to life. And first of all, is that the central thrust of this passage in Matthew 24 is the reliable promise of the one who came first of all as a child to save us. And that promise is easy to miss, because usually in passages like this, it is the dire warnings about the coming of Christ that catch our attention. But what we need to remember is that Jesus was speaking these words to his disciples. And at the heart of this brief apocalyptic section is the promise that when he comes again, he is going to gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. And that's a good thing. That's something we look forward to. The coming of Christ at the end of time is the reliable promise that Christ's church is going to finally be gathered together as one into the kingdom of glory. And that is the ultimate hope of our faith, is it not? And everything else that Jesus says about the end of time has to be heard in light of this reliable promise. But of course, the second element at hand is the sheer unpredictability of the events that Jesus is talking about. No one knows the day or the hour, he says. Not even the angels in heaven. Not even the Son, the omniscient Son of God. No one knows except the Father only. And we can relate to that kind of unpredictability, because much of life is that way. You didn't predict that miscarriage. You didn't predict the loss of your job, or that dread diagnosis, or that death of a loved one, or that accident. So much of life is unpredictable. But we also know that life is reliably unpredictable. And that's why we try to protect ourselves. You know, to avoid a miscarriage, we'll tell a pregnant woman, take folic acid, eat healthy, avoid alcohol. To avoid an accident, we will maintain the proper distance between us and the car ahead of us and drive at the speed limit. Yeah, like anybody does that. To avoid financial devastation that death can cause for a spouse or for a family, we'll buy life insurance. Because you see, we understand that life is reliably unpredictable. And so we find ways to guard against that. So how do we guard against the reliable unpredictability of Christ's second coming? How do you get ready, as Jesus says to us so clearly today? And many Christians do not even have a clue how to do that. You see, to many people, getting ready for Jesus to come means, I think I'm going to try to sin less. And hopefully that will improve my odds that I won't get caught red-handed in some sin when Jesus comes. As if by being a little better behaved at the exact moment he comes, he somehow isn't going to notice all the other sins. But that does nothing to allay our fears about the end of time. If being caught red-handed in sin is what damns us on that great day, then we are all damned already. Because sin infects every part of our lives, every thought, every intent, every moment of our being. Isaiah said, even our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And so now, on top of all of our other fears about financial ruin, maybe getting old and losing our health or losing our independence, being left alone, losing a loved one, a nation that seems to be self-destructing before our eyes, cancer, Parkinson's, on top of all of those things that we fear, now we have to be afraid that Jesus might suddenly come when we're right in the middle of a sin. If being on our best behavior is what it means to be ready. O you of little faith, Advent is your season of hope, and its promise is the mitigation of all of our fears. For the child of God, for the faithful of Jesus Christ, Advent is first and foremost the promise, not a threat. Advent holds up before our eyes the promise of that coming day when Jesus is going to gather us together along with all the believers from the four winds all around the world and take us to the home of our dreams. We read just last week that even the thief on the cross, knowing that he deserved punishment forever, was nevertheless given this certain hope by Christ. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And that is the same promise of Christ to all of you who flee in repentant faith to his cross and to his shed blood. That in Christ crucified for us, we are at peace with God. We are forgiven, and therefore we are ready. We are created in Christ Jesus for so much more than all of these fears. Because Jesus is coming again. Not to try to catch us red-handed, but to be with us and to be for us. Just like when he came the first time as the baby in the manger. And so we fear the coming of Jesus no more than we fear his coming right now to this communion table. Here, as always, Jesus comes to be with us, and he comes for us, Predictably, according to his promise, my body for you, my blood for you, granting us forgiveness and salvation and the strength to face life's reliable unpredictability. And so Jesus says, stay awake. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. And no, the promise of His coming does not insulate us from the reliable, unpredictable setbacks of our lives. But it does promise us that we never have to face those setbacks alone. And it does give us a new way of thinking about our trials and our troubles in this life, not as things to be feared, but rather as the primary means by which our Savior is working in our lives to keep us ready for the day of our salvation, the coming of Christ. Because you see, that loss that you experience, that disappointment you had, your grief because you lost a loved one, that disease that you're dealing with, all these things that we naturally fear, as difficult as they may be, are also God's way of letting you experience more deeply the healing presence of the One who came, who comes, and is coming again, always for us. And so the readiness that Jesus calls for is not of our own doing, as if our eternal fate hangs on whatever we happen to be doing at the moment He comes. But readiness is His work in us. He stirs up readiness in us by the very promise of His coming and by the fears of setbacks of life. He whets our appetites for that promised day. Because after all, if this life was paradise, why would we ever yearn for His coming? But as it is, those reliable, unpredictable setbacks of life, those things that we fear so much, are precisely the things that stir up in us a yearning for a better home, and that prompt our Advent prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.